The Evelyn Salar Center is recruiting volunteers to help design and implement relief initiatives for the downtown Eastside community. If you're looking to get experience relevant to your area of study, welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. For those of you who know who I am, that is great. For those of you who do not, my name is Jeff, and I am the host of the show Leanin' with Jeff that airs every Tuesday, 2 to 3 p.m. I am doing a show. It's a special show today, hence why I'm doing it on a Monday, 11 a.m. But I hope you guys enjoy this show. It's going to be touching on multiple topics of culture differences, some dancing, some potlucks, and some other personal experiences, which will be discussed with my friend Sam. Before we get started, let's get through some ads, some PSAs, and some station IDs, and we will get right to the episode. So I hope you guys enjoy, and I will see you guys soon. Here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
This is Kristen Carter. My debut contemporary pop album, Full Bloom, is now yours to discover. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty and the seasonal nature of life. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music. Visit thekristencarter.com or follow at Kristen Carter Music for more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters.
National Summer Safety Week is May 1 to 7. As you plan your camping and hiking trips for the season, the Canada Safety Council wants you to be well-equipped to stay safe on the trails and in the wild. Learn more about how you can best plan for a safe outdoor excursion, including how to make smart choices about clothing, food, and hydration at CanadaSafetyCouncil.org.
Kailala Lelam is an urban Indigenous health and wellness cooperative in Vancouver's downtown Eastside. Taking a decolonized approach to healthcare, Kailala Lelam aims to partner Indigenous elders with physicians and allied health professionals to provide culturally informed physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual care to our community members. You can join us in helping to decolonize healthcare and supporting members of the downtown Eastside by sharing our story or providing single, monthly, or annual donations. Head over to our website, kailalalelam.ca, or Instagram at kailalalelum to learn more or donate.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. So we will start the episode by introducing my guest today and going on from there. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. What's up, man? I'm good. Always good to be on here.
Always great to have you, Sam. I think we'll just begin with what's been up with you. The semester has ended and, you know, the summer's coming, so any plans that you have or anything you've done recently that was exciting and kind of helped you escape that academic life and go into more of a relaxing mode?
Yeah. Honestly, last semester has been exhausting, both mentally and physically. Being on campus almost every single day has really drained me. But now that I'm out of it, I really get to take a break and just like spend more time with my family specifically gave me a lot of joy. And yeah, I just miss my house. Honestly, spending time at my house, getting to sleep, getting to eat there, it's amazing. But yeah, one of the fun things that happened for me at least yesterday was I attended as one of the vendors for a Hong Kong, like, it's called a Vancouver Hong Kong Fair hosted by Hong Kong House, which is a completely volunteer-based, like, organization. And they're really focused on just bringing the community of Hong Kong people in Vancouver together, but also letting other people nearby to see our culture and be proud of our culture. And I think it's really, really beautiful. So the fair happened, took place from around 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. So it was a bit of a long time. And it happened at Shipyards, which is in North Vancouver. So yeah, we had a lot of vendors there. And also there's like music, live music, and a lot of foods. So the vibe was really, really good. And we sold more than expected. So it was nice. Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I've never been, sorry, is it a festival or is it like an event?
It's more of an event than it is a festival. Yeah, like a fair, like a huge fair. Yeah.
Is it a yearly event?
Yes, it is annually.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool, cool. Yeah. I think the first thing I want to ask is, obviously you're helping your mom out with her baking business.
Yes.
And I am aware that that has been going on during your school life as well. How do you find that balance between helping out your mom and your academic life? But I think there is a little bit more of a complexity that goes on because it is a family business.
Yeah.
And so I think there's always that barrier between, you know, being business partners, but also being family as well. So how does that go with you in terms of time management, but also just like the overall flow of how your routine or your daily routine goes along?
Yeah, it's actually surprisingly very, very flexible. And I say this only because it's mainly my mom. The way I see this is like it's a very small family business where my mom's the founder of it. She's the owner of it. And she actually is like the head of this. So I'm basically just helping her on the side. Like my role is very small compared to hers. I basically, how I manage my time around it when school was happening was that whenever I had the time, my mom just has extra chores for me to do for this business, I'll do it for her. For example, right now I'm more in charge of like invoices and I'm more in charge of like there are specific items that are in like created by me. So hence I need to make them whenever the order comes. But it is a bit complex in terms of like, how do I, when I'm at home, when I see my mom and I engage with my mom is a bit different, actually not that different from how we do business together. Like location wise, we kind of move from like to my house to like the actual commissary kitchen that we always bake in. And it's very much the same. There's not a huge difference in terms of the dynamic and the relationship that we bring into work and in our house, which I actually really, really value because I don't think that happens often with a lot of family businesses. But yeah, it's really nice, actually.
That's great. I mean, I think it's because a business is a 24/7 job. And so you're just constantly thinking about clients and then your food and you have to make it. And so I'm sure it's a very difficult thing to balance all that out together. Is there anything that you learned by helping your mom with her business in terms of that business side of things or just how that, you know, overall reflects on your daily life, whether it's personal or with your academics or anything like that?
Yeah, I think obviously communication is like one of the things I learned the hard way just because like when I'm in school especially, I always feel guilty that I'm not able to help my mom as much. So I do end up like promising her more than I can deliver. And that was a huge issue for her because she's like, yeah, well, I can fully understand that you're in school. So if I'm asking you like, hey, can you, for example, help me do a couple of these invoices? You can just say no. If you can't do it, just say no so I can do it. And when it's like time tight like this, I feel like it's even more important, especially like for, you know, communication to take place if I actually cannot do it. And thankfully I can fall back on like the laid backness of we're doing this together as a family, and instead of like actually I'm paid to do this. So it's a bit different. Yeah, but communication is definitely key, and just say it if you can or you cannot do something. Yeah, no, I
agree with you. I think communication is definitely something that's really tough, but also something that should be like a continuous journey to work on, because it really does go far in terms of how strong a relationship can build. And like you said, you know, sometimes I think we all make this mistake of promising something more than we could actually, you know, manage. And that conversation where you kind of have to force yourself to say, oh, I think this is a bit too much. Yeah. So, you know, being open with that is definitely something that is tough. And, you know, we all kind of have to work towards depending on where we're at. But I want to move on with your final capstone performance that I went to go see. I don't think we've discussed this. But it was very interesting. It happened, I'm sorry, where was SFU?
SFU Gold Corp Center of the Arts, which is where the contemporary arts, like, yeah.
No, that was, it was a really phenomenal performance. And I think it was so impactful as well. And it was just great. Do you want to walk me through the process of how you came up, I guess, summarize the performance and your artwork a bit first? And then how did that process come about? What kinds of influences inspired you to kind of create that artwork and performance? And yeah, just that process of what it was like.
Yeah, this is a graduating project, and we have a full year on this. So the first semester, we kind of looked at it in a way that's like a research, in a research way. So we kind of experimented with a lot of different things. Every single class, we pretty much came in with like a bit or like a small score that we want to show the class. And we ended up like collecting over like maybe 10 bits that we actually developed for ourselves and for each other. And the second semester, we basically built a show off of those little things, or however you like to go about your progress with your show. I personally just ended up using a lot of these bits that I discovered in the first semester and really fine-tuning it and really go even further into them. And yeah, I think that's mainly the process for most people. And just to summarize my show, I would say this is a piece about my personal struggles. I guess like going through my religious guilt of like, oh, I grew up Christian and they really, really enforced purity culture onto kids, onto young women specifically. And now that I'm not in the religion, how does that make me feel, like the wear and tear of the Christian values and also my pursuit of my own sexuality? And yeah, so it's kind of being in between this tension of like, oh, I'm trying to pursue something that feels right to my body now, but also being held back by religious guilt. So this is kind of the general arc of my show. And yeah, like the influence I took, I took quite a bit of influence from like experimental performers. One of them I can think about is like Abel Ascona, and he is phenomenal because he embodies a lot of risks in his performances, which I don't see often. And using pain and sometimes pleasure as like a performance form, it really helps me like deliver this sort of feeling that I had, or this message that I want to say in an embodied way, if that makes sense. Yeah. Because I personally did not write a lot of script for this show. It's a very heavily, like, physical more than verbal. So that's, yeah. I think any artist that really is able to let themselves go on stage kind of became my influence. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you for answering that. The reason why I asked this question is because our show concept today is about culture and where we're from and our background. And I think when we create some sort of artwork, there's always that foundation of where we're from and kind of we're using what we've experienced as people and where we grew up and using that as a foundation to create an artwork. Is it ever difficult for you to kind of escape that, where I think it's almost like you're repeating certain things or repeating certain experiences and you're just learning how to express it in a different way? Or do you ever intentionally try and kind of put yourself in someone else's shoes and create some sort of artwork? Or is it usually, or try to focus on just yourself, whether it's, you know, sometimes it can be something that's repetitive or not?
Yeah, I think a lot of my work comes from something that I'm experiencing or I want to try to unpack, because there's so much that in my daily life that I'm so actually stubborn and I'm unwilling to unpack it, that I kind of want to make it into a performance. So a lot of it ends up being, yes, it comes from a very internalized place, but this internalized feelings always happens to like connect everyone together, because it's such a universal, how do I say it? It's like, yes, it's very personal, but yet you know for a fact that everyone else is experiencing it. So you're gonna try and jump out of this comfort zone and actually deliver it, because not a lot of people are willing to do that in their own time. So that's why we make it into performances. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's the hard thing though, because like you said, I think every sort of artwork we're able to relate to a certain degree, because an emotion, there's so many that we can really feel, but it's the originality that comes from performances is dependent on how that certain person expresses or feels that emotion in their own way.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of art and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I think moving a little towards our experiences together pretty recently, we went to Mango's, which is a Latina bar restaurant.
Latin bar / restaurant, club at night type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place. I think we've mentioned it before, but I would recommend it to a lot of people who love to dance in that genre. But we finished off that night and we kind of had this discussion where there's that certain cultural, I don't want to say barrier, but a little unfamiliarity between in terms of how we dance and how we interact with people there.
Yeah.
What was something that was interesting with you, and how would you characterize that? Is it uncomfortable, or is it just unfamiliar or new? Like, how was that for you?
Yeah. Speaking of, like, I personally love going to Mango's because, yes, it's unfamiliar still a bit, but it's so fun. Like, if you actually are okay with being vulnerable and dance and social dance with people, I think you're going to gain a lot out of it. I think it's also the unfamiliarity with the music, and I kind of wish I know what the music is saying, but it's just I also think it's not that important at the same time, because the music itself just moves you, you know? What did you think, actually?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was thinking about this for a while, and I'm stumbling upon the words of being insecure Ooh. And respectful.
Yeah.
So it's like two different words, two different emotions, completely different. But I'm like, because what I thought is, there are so many people who were dancing together who didn't know each other. Mm. And it seemed like that was just a constant occurrence where people would just dance. And it's a very intimate dance as well. You're close together, you know, you're holding hands. And I just could not find the courage to do that with anyone. Mm. And I don't know if that was being insecure or if I was just being respectful of the people's space. And I'm just like trying to juggle around these tours and being like, what's the issue? Because it seems like that's the norm. And I think I don't know if I'm this like if I'm wording this correctly, but if you know the people who are dancing with each other who don't know each other is not in a creepy way at all.
Yeah.
It's just the vibe of the place. It's just you just dance with people. You just, you know, you vibe with this different people and different cultures. And I don't know. It was just such a weird, confusing state where I just didn't know which side I was fully in or if it was just both or maybe it's just something that I just need to work on. Or, I don't know. It was just weird.
Dude, I think, okay, I definitely had insecurities going into it because of the fact that I don't know salsa dancing. I didn't know the foundations of, like, what do Latin people, like, how do they dance? I haven't studied any of that. And we're both Asian. So, like, when we went into the bar, I was like, well, we definitely should, you know, take notes on how other people are dancing. Because, or else, I don't think we're going to be able to hold on to the rest of the night. So, I tried, like, I think when it comes to stuff like that, it's like mimicking at first and then really like, and the people there, right, they're so helpful. They literally, if you, like, they would just volunteer to like dance with you, essentially. And I think that's the beautiful part of it, is they help you out. Yeah. And I think it's okay to feel that way too, man, because it's a pretty hard place to be like, well, I don't know the dance moves, so I'm going to act like I'm like completely in the mood of doing it. I think, yeah, if it comes from a place of appreciation and like that, I think that's all that matters. But I feel it's one of those things, like the more we go or like if we really want to get into it, we can just like YouTube it and see, you know, what we can learn from it. And then we can bring it to Mangoes again. Yeah.
No, I think it's, these events and these experiences always have that same thing where, you know, it's a difference between being cocky and confidence. Yeah. Like you said, you're kind of mimicking it, but you kind of have to put yourself out there and dance with other people to get better.
Yes.
But then again, you kind of have to do it and approach it in a way that's comfortable, like, for both
actually
sides.
Actually learn. Yeah. And instead of just like, I don't know.
Like, oh, I know how to dance and you just go ahead.
Yeah.
So it's like that fine line. And I think learning how to do that is a very important thing. Yeah. And I think that's what's important, is to recognize what the difference is and how to be confident, but also put yourself in a position to learn.
Yes.
And to accept new things.
Yeah.
And I think this other thing is, from my culture, maybe for yours, but I still find it so difficult to treat adults neutrally, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know if I'm being disrespectful if I approach someone much older than me to dance, you know, because I was taught that, you know, elders and people who are older than me don't necessarily hold a specific authority over me. It's just I should have the respect to, you know, put them not at my level in any way.
Yeah.
Right. So for me to see other people just, you know, going to, you know, other, you know, people who are older than them, and like that aspect of age, it's not really a big concern.
It's not. Yeah.
And I think that's so, because even nowadays when I meet, you know, my friend's Asian parents who probably speak English and are, you know, Canadian or whatnot, I still debate whether I should bow or not. I don't know if that happens for you too, but it's just such a weird, confusing state. I'm like, if I wave at them, is that disrespectful? But then if I bow, is that also disrespectful? It's weird, you know, confusing incidents where it's like, what do I do?
I know.
And I think so many people who come from or who have been raised in cultural households who live in, you know, a different environment with a different culture is something that's like a constant struggle for them to like decide which is what.
Yeah. I hear you on that, because it's like, I've been in Canada for over like just 10 years now. And I still carry that, like, age hierarchy in my own head. And I realize people here really don't care at all. Like, looking at mangoes, for example, is like, it's like an example that social context really matters. Because I feel like that's one of the places where truly age did not matter at all. Like, anyone were intermingling. Like, yeah, we have, like, aunties coming up to mm-hmm. you and trying to dance with you. But yeah. you obviously felt a bit held back. Yeah. You're like, well, I want to respect. But, like,
yeah.
you know. So, yeah. I wonder how long is it going to take? Because it's like, for me, I'm going to derail this a little bit. But, like, for me, the whole teacher-student dynamic, also, like, it's an age dynamic, like, age thing as well. But that messed with me so much. Because I, like, for example, going into dance classes and, like, I'm currently in the dance program, but we have this teacher that's always teaching. And we're close. We're all, like, very tight as a family. But for me, it's, like, am I... He wants us to see him as a friend. And instead of, like, oh, I'm your dance teacher. But it's hard. It's hard to differentiate. Because it's, like, yeah, I do a lot of these things in class that... I want to, in a way, please you and make you see that, oh, I'm a student who's really trying. But the moment dance ends and then, like, we're all talking again, it's like, oh, but he's really just an adult, just like any other adult. So it's a bit, like, hard on me mentally to, like, all of a sudden switch, you know, switch outside and inside and outside of these contexts. But yeah, I think the lovely part is that because we grew up in that culture, we have a mutual understanding of this feeling, and I don't think a lot of people understand it.
It really is difficult to understand. I guess you can accept it, but to understand it is a different story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this constant struggle to really choose a side, but I don't think that's the right approach. I don't think you have to choose a certain side. It's just you have to move along with where you're at. And so just, you know, be and behave in a way. But, you know, like you said, I really don't know when or how long it's going to take for me to be comfortable. It's
always going to be there.
Yeah, I think, like, it's always going to be there.
Because even with some of my coworkers, they're literally in their... I want to say, like, 40s, early 40s. And there are instances where they would see my parents. And my parents, my dad is, I think, turned 60 recently. Or he's a bit younger. I forget. But, like, my mom and my dad are, like, in their 50s and 60s. And, like, even those coworkers who are in their 40s would call my mom and my dad, like, auntie and uncle. Mm. Which is very cute. I find it very, very cute. Because there's, like, respect. Even though it's... And it doesn't trump on, like, oh, yeah, because I see them as old. It's out of complete respect. And I think I really actually want to keep that as part of my life. Like, as a reminder. Even though I don't have to address anyone that way. But I think, yeah, it's a very specific thing to us from Hong Kong. So, yeah.
I think that age... hierarchy in cultures happens with many cultures. Do you ever feel like there's this expectation that you need to hold up to, even in cultures that you're not aware of, but kind of have a gist of an idea that, yeah, they too have that kind of rule or that they follow that certain culture when you're in different families or when you meet new people? Do you have that around you where it's like you
like
have
that
this
awareness that I
yeah,
have?
Yeah, like do
to...
you feel like you have this expectation you have to uphold, especially with adults, if you go out to dinner with them or just simply just talking to them?
Yeah, it's weird. It's mostly just it's mostly that awareness kicks in is when I'm with around like Asian people. But when I'm like around people in their 30s or 40s or above in like any other areas, I don't feel like I have to do that. In dance class, I have like a couple of like girlfriends who are in their at least 40s, and the way we address each other is very much we're on the same. Yeah, like,
yeah,
there's no need to purposely like address, like, you know, like we do, like auntie, uncle, or whatever, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's weird in here. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I still feel kind of uncomfortable just talking to adults.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, like full adults who like usually my friends' parents.
Yeah, friends' parents is a
no matter their race or ethnicity or where yeah. they, it's so awkward. And that's when it kicks in where I think I have to behave in a certain way that follows to an extent oh. of where I'm from. Although I grew up here, it's so weird, right? There's always this thing where if you're an adult, I just have that. I have to have that wall.
Okay, I see what you're saying now. Never, so yeah. you're saying it's like it's cases where you're how you know that this adult is through your friend, like as if like friend's mom, friend's dad, right? Is that because that does change everything.
Yeah, yeah. In those cases too, yeah. but just in general. I mean, I had a conversation with a grandma. A couple weeks ago while I was waiting for my A&W order. And I don't know. I felt so uncomfortable.
Like, you don't know what to say?
I don't know. I just thought that I wasn't being myself. And I thought that I had to like say things in a certain way or, you know, hold that sense. I mean, we were having a normal, very normal conversation about, like, how are you? Oh, yeah, the mall's been renovating and all that. But I just never felt comfortable, and I don't know if that happens with you
yeah
too.
That happens to me
it's
too.
Just I don't think it was because she was a stranger. I just think it was because she was just so much older than
generational
me
that, difference.
Yeah, like I don't
you,
know
you didn't like you didn't know how to like end or start a conversation with
or
someone.
Just like continue on like I don't know if
yeah I think maybe yeah. you're reading too much into it. Like I would have said the same thing as you, but like I would just see it as like yeah
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's totally normal, though, because especially in situations where you know that we don't have a lot to relate to, so we're just going to find stuff to talk about, you know? And they're mostly just really nice. Like,
yeah,
you
can
say, yeah, 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 yeah. I was going to say something about, like, oh, yeah, because we're talking about, like, oh, like friends, parents, and stuff like that. I feel like it's such a special thing, because... Because, like, it doesn't matter how old I get. The way I treat my parent, my friend's parents are always going to stay the same.
Mm.
Doesn't matter if I'm in my 30s and they're in their 70s or whatever. I'm still going to, like, be a little kid around them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's an interesting thing for sure. Yeah.
Do you think, because I think in most Asian households, the exposure that kids get with adults is... quite little in terms of conversation. Like I don't, as for me, for example, I didn't really have a lot of conversations with many adults. It was mostly with my friends and, yeah. you know, whoever was in my age. Do you think that has some sort of influence with the way we perceive adults and the emotions that go through us when we're with them?
Yeah, yeah, definitely the age thing, I also grew up kind of just playing, well, like kids play with kids and then adults, they talk about adult stuff. So yeah, I think that definitely has some sort of impact on the way that if I were to like, if that social situation happens again, where it's like, oh, family gatherings where, you know, our cousins and our aunties and uncles came and stuff like that. I would always just sit and talk to my cousins more than I talk to the parents and adults for sure. But I have a feeling that also happens in most cultures, unless if I'm wrong. Because it's like, yeah, what is my grandma? Like, grandma is a different thing, I feel like. But, like, what is my aunt gonna talk to me that much about, you know? So...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think everyone kind of goes through the same thing
yeah.
when they're young or when they're our age, too. It's just that weird, awkward feeling that yeah. we all get with anyone.
Have you ever, like, disrespected your elders before? Like, whether intentional or unintentionally?
I don't think so. I think it's just always there. Of the fear of
doing it. Oh, I thought you said disrespect is always
there. No. No, no, it's just the fear of disrespecting. That's what gets me. Yeah,
I have a story to tell. Yo,
what is it?
Okay, this is such a... It's not even about disrespect. It's just me being dumb as a kid. But my my grandpa is like a watercolor artist, and he does like a lot of like Chinese painting, actually more of an ink guy. He does a lot of ink painting, and he was painting at his old house. And at that time, I didn't have the concept because I was like really little. When I see just like just a painting on like a table of some kind, if it's just there and no one's there to draw it, like drawing it or like looking at it, I just thought it's an open canvas that I can just like mess around with.
Oh.
So my grandpa made this beautiful ink painting of like a, it's a whole ass, like it's giving like, oh sorry, it's like fun, giving, yeah. Bob Dylan, is it the artist Bob
Oh,
Dylan?
Oh yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's straight up that, but in ink, it's beautiful. And then because I had no concept of it, I took the ink and I started like drawing on top of it. And man, was I guilty afterwards. I was like, oh my goodness.
How old were you?
I think I was like, I want to say I was 7.
Oh, okay.
I was 7. But like, I was like, I thought it was a funny thing to do at first. And then until my grandpa came in and he was like really upset. He wasn't even mad. That's the thing that made me so guilty, is that he wasn't mad, but he was like upset. He was like, oh no, one of my grandkids did this.
You know what that tells me? That tells me how complex humans are, is that reaction of just pure
like it was
sadness,
silence,
and just disappointment, is that's what gets you.
That also broke my heart too. I was like, wow, he's actually upset about that. But anyway,
it's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this was a great conversation. I think everything we talk about is quite universal. I don't think it always just comes down to a particular culture. But before we go into a last segment, do you want to share what your plans are for the summer? Anything that you're looking forward to, or anything you want to do as like a small goal before we start up again on September?
Ooh. I'm currently in the process of rehearsing for like a dance showcase coming up in June 22nd, if anyone wants to catch that. The group is called Weekend Warriors.
Weekend Warriors?
Yeah, Weekend Warriors. Because we only practice on the weekends. Because it's it's for people who are working for any age, any whatever. Like, you just come in on the weekend and we train. Anyways, and that, I think, I'm also taking 2 courses in the summer. I'm also going to be just running around doing different things. But yeah. What about you?
I'll just be here, you know, I'll be doing my show. I'm going to Toronto this week, so I'm very excited for that. But yeah, I'll be here, you know. I hope the weather's going to get better. I heard that it's going to be really hot next week in Vancouver. So that's going to be great. I'm going to need to buy some more shorts because I've been wearing some long pants lately.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, I'm excited for the summer. I think summer is always a great time to just relax and do fun activities.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those of you who are wondering what our last segment is going to be, I'm going to be running through some Would You Rather questions.
Oh,
I used to create them on my own, but I think sometimes we should try and go with those, the ones that are already existing. Sure. But why don't we get through some, and then we will end off today's episode.
Yep.
Now, we're going to go a bit deeper this time, and I'm going to ask some questions in between the Would You Rather questions to see how you come up, like, what's your logic behind your decision?
Mm.
And I think that's a very important thing, too.
God, okay.
So why don't we begin?
Yeah.
Pretty mild ones for the beginning. But would you rather be a genius and know everything or be amazing at any activity you tried? So I think this is between knowing, like, knowledge and then physical activities, I guess.
I think knowledge, just there's no huge explanation, just because I don't think I have enough.
That's a valid reason, though. Yeah.
I'm not someone who has a lot of knowledge. Anyways. Continue.
Knowledge, all right. Would you rather go on road trips or fly to a different country?
100% fly to a different country. I despise road trips. I don't understand the point of them.
Really?
At all. Why am I spending 4 hours in our car? Why? You know?
Interesting.
And I get motion sickness, so it's not fun for me at all.
Okay, yeah. No, that's a big barrier.
Yeah.
I think road trips are a really great way to break the ice with people you don't really know.
Yep.
Or is that a terrible choice to go to a road trip with someone you don't even know that well?
Okay.
Because it could go either.
It can go
very
either
horribly
way,
or 100%. Very amazing.
It's not like you can just drop them off and be like,
yeah,
bye.
You know what? I'm just going to take the bus.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
You can't. Yeah.
But I do want to try one. I've been thinking of.
Okay.
Which is ironic because I can't even drive.
Yeah.
But
wow.
All right. Next one is, would you rather lose your ability to speak or the ability to hear?
Ability to speak, because I can learn ASL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think communication really plays a big part in this. Mm. Would you rather work more hours a day but have longer weekends, or work fewer hours a day with more weekdays?
I want more weekends for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know what, I listened to this really funny clip,
mm-hmm.
and it was a news, and I don't know if this guy was a scientist or not, but the interviewer was saying, is there a reason why weekends feel so much shorter than weekdays?
Yeah.
And the guy, he responded by saying, yes, because weekends are literally shorter than weekdays. There's 2 days for weekends.
Yeah.
And five days for week.
So realization.
That is why, yeah, that is why weekends feel shorter. And they were just laughing because it's literally different.
It is.
All right, next one is, would you rather shout all of the time or only be able to whisper?
Whisper, because I feel like I've been shouting all my life. It's okay.
I guess. All right. Ooh, this one's a good one. Would you rather be hopelessly lost in an old town or lost in the forest?
Ew. Both ews. No.
Really?
No.
I would...
Maybe old town, just because I don't want to be lost in a forest.
Dude, I'd go for an old town. I think there's so much to explore.
Oh, wait. Oh, old town. Okay. Yeah. I think old town is definitely beautiful. It can be very beautiful. Yeah.
I think there's so much history to unpack.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, why would a forest? Are you kidding me?
Well, what if it's like a really enchanted
forest? Absolutely not. I would not want to.
That'd be more scary, I'd say, because you kind of lose track of time.
The sprites from Brave.
Yeah. You lean against a rock and it just goes right through. Would you rather only watch one single movie for the rest of your life, or only eat the same this one's a really tough one. Only
so
eat
tough.
The same food for the rest of your life.
Okay, 100% the movie, because I cannot survive off the same food. I love food too much. I cannot sacrifice.
Yeah, I'd have
that.
To sacrifice the
but
movie.
For you is different. I feel like you love movies, so it's like,
I think eating is more important.
Same.
Because if you look at it in a different way, movies are still technology, and no technology is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we can't see other performances. We can go see plays and movies and not movies, like, you know, music shows and comedies and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess, but eating is just something it's just too strong of a desire.
We love eating. We can't give that up.
Would you rather be able to control fire or water?
Water, maybe, because like in that case then I don't know, there's no smart way to go about this. I can control water, so I can put out fires. How about that?
Yeah I think the reason why I would choose water is because of the amount of exposure we get with water.
No tsunamis, no tornadoes. No tornadoes, not it, sorry.
I mean, you live in Canada. I don't think we get too many tsunamis to save.
No flooding.
Move to Japan?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. There's more disaster. Well, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to control fire. That's too much work.
I mean, I'm assuming
water
you still
can,
get
can
affected?
Dilute the fire. That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah. But you can't really do fire.
Fire cannot.
Or beat fire with water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather be remembered in history books for doing something terrible, or completely forgotten after you die? Well, I think it's I want to be forgotten.
Yeah, I want to be forgotten too.
I don't mean how terrible are we talking? Like the best robber? Maybe I'll be okay with the most. I just don't want to be remembered for someone who, like, you know, did anything to the human race.
Yeah. Or
would you rather have super weird dreams forever or never dream again?
Dude.
Oh, this is an easy one for me.
I don't even know how weird the dreams are going to be. Weird dreams. We're going to have weird dreams, yeah.
Have you been dreaming lately, by the way?
Yes.
I haven't been dreaming a lot lately. I love dreaming.
I don't know what that says.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you dream when you're tired. Yeah. Like, if you're in a deep, great sleep, I think in my logic or in my experiences, 100%. It's less likely to dream.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think, you know, sometimes I dream in like a 20-minute nap. And it's same. Weird. It's so weird.
So, yes, it usually depends on how tired you are, I feel like. Because the 20-minute sleep could be the deepest 20-minute sleep. But, yeah.
The next one is going to be, would you rather your crush be able to read your mind? Or have access to your internet history.
Oh.
Internet history.
Internet history, 100%.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it would be kind of funny if they can read into my mind.
Do you think that if they read into your mind, things would just go much faster in terms of your guys' relationship?
Yeah, but I feel like the mystery is gone, you know, like,
oh yeah, yeah, there's definitely some sort of
other person that's not fun anymore.
Yeah, I know, you're right, you know? You're right, yeah,
but it'll be cool.
Would you rather spend a bunch of money on your wedding or on your honeymoon?
Whoa.
Honeymoon for sure, for me at least.
Yeah, I would have to say honeymoon too, because weddings, I don't know why, I personally have not a huge wedding person, I guess.
You know, I see a lot of...
I don't know what that means, but anyways.
I see a lot of rom-com movies that, you know, where people go to weddings. Are you ever excited that when we're a bit older in age and, you know, we get to go to, like, weddings? Yeah. I'm so excited for that, you know, just going to weddings and just... meeting new people and eating good food and dancing. And
yeah,
I really look forward to that era of our life where going to weddings, you know.
You're saying this as, like, I love how you're talking about that and we're all single and we're just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, man.
I just think it's going
to
be.
Can't wait for us to be married.
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather publish a best-selling book or direct an Oscar-winning movie?
Ooh.
Oh, this one's a good one.
Let me think. Because I would say... I don't even know what's your answer for this.
I'm choosing the book.
Book? Okay, yeah. Why?
I want to do the book. I don't know. I just think... I think it'd be pretty cool to write a book. I personally think it's just a bit more personal.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, although I'm directing a movie, it really depends on how the actor or actress really carries on that role. And, you know, everyone has their own unique way of how they perform a certain thing. So I think there's always a collaborative aspect to movies. Obviously, there are definitely collaborative things that go along with creating a book, but I don't know. I just always thought in my mind it'd be more personal when I'm writing my own book.
True.
Than it is, yeah.
True.
Our last one for today would be, would you rather spend every night on vacation out or spend every day taking R&R to new heights? What does that even mean?
I don't even know what that is.
All right, we'll move on to a different one. I don't even know what that means.
What?
The next one is... Oh, this one's relatable to you, actually. Would you rather your pet be able to talk to you or your pet be able to live forever?
Yo, I can, okay, probably talk to me. I don't want my pet to live forever. You know how annoying that's going to be?
Yeah,
that's
no.
That's going to be, yeah.
Really? No, actually, I disagree with you. I would rather have my pet talk with me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I want my pet to talk to me. Because if there's anything that she has, like, beef with me, I can, like, hear her out. You know, like, I can be, like, her therapist. I don't know, like.
Yeah. No, I just think I would love to know the mind of an animal.
Same.
And what they think.
Yeah.
But you're right. They could be annoying because they might be more simple than you think, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, I want food.
Just like constantly. Give me food now.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for our show today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Today's a very lovely day. I mean, there are a couple sprinkles here and there, but the sky is blue. And it's a little warm outside, so I really hope you guys all have a chance to go outside and enjoy the natural weather that is offered today. Thank you again, Sam, for coming on my show. You're welcome. More than welcome to come back.
Slate.
And I hope you and me have a great rest of the summer. I will see you all next week. Thank you all for listening. My name is Jeff, and this was Lean In with Jeff.
Sure.
Roots music, with African, Latin, and European music in the first half, followed by Celtic, blues, songwriters, and Cajun in the second half.
I am a serious rhythm machine. Now try pleasure. www.citr.ca. You win. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Start out just to vibe out. I ain't about to bow out. I'm more gangster than you are, but I ain't about to bow out. My season'll come, it has to. Honestly, I feel like I'm 10 months pregnant or something. I'm past due. Sincerely, I'm touchy these days. I can't take none. I'm trying to treat my record like the law. Shit, I'm dying to break some. And mostly, I'm up and stressing when other folks sleep. Believe me, I know struggle, and struggle knows me. My life owes me. Like an overdose, I'm slowly drifting into the arms of trouble. Then trouble holds me, and nothing else is close to me. More than pain, unfortunately, like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm supposed to be struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men. And I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again. I'm struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men. And I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again.
I should be chilling on beaches, instead my bone freezes. Ducking glocks and I walk, well, like Jesus. The realest thing for me is, since I was a fetus, the only break I ever got was at Reese's. So legitimately, I remain very little relieved. And at Thug Rappers, I remain very little intrigued. And can you blame me? Look how we lived in the late 80s, throwing rocks at the crazy ladies. And when we played these crazy games, the whole crew had crazy names. We even had a cripple, we used to call them lazy legs. But my faith remains untouched and unchanged. Still in my block, you hear more shots than a gun range. I'm
struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men. And I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again. I'm struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men. And I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again.
More to the truth, no writing, just recording me at the booth.
Yeah.
Forced by the loop and the guitar, but I'm the boss of the groove. Speak truth, my deep roots remain in equal danger. The pain of my song is crazy, but the sequel is stranger. Hey man, I'm from the hardest, hardest projects. They're departed, I'm now known as a recording artist. Spilling what little remains of your memories in the process. Bitter a little, but making your names into a colossus. Believe me, I'm thankful my brother's still with me. And ain't much change, Bobby's still troubling with me. And Bush is still bombing poor people, yo, he's deadly. I got a little recording
gig, but evidently I'm struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men, and I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again. I'm struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men, and I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again. I'm struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men, and I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again. I'm struggling, and it's troubling. In the circumstance I'm dwelling in, I find myself in the corner huddling with some angry men, and I gotta settle shit again before they gotta kill again.
You hear what Crimes and Treasons Radio, Jazz Cartier, y'all know who it is, Golden Child, baby, let's get it.
What up, this is Machine Gun Kelly, and right now I am tuned in to Crimes and Treasons, goddammit.
Hey, yo, this is Isaiah Rashad,